might be a little history lesson some today. We'll look at just the last part of these verses. And if you get there, when you're able to stand, we'll stand and read Romans 16, verse 21 down to 25. And we are almost done. I was starting to plan and think what book we're going to look at next on Wednesdays. And we'll figure out that and get a place to search through and study the scriptures together. But Romans 16, verse 21, it says, Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. I just couldn't stop. We had to keep going, right? So it says amen. Let's be seated. We're about to pray. God, thank you again, Father, for who you are. Pray for wisdom as we open your scriptures and we look at these thoughts together today. And then, God, thank you for this place. We are just a link of the chain from the time of Jesus being the chief cornerstone until the time of Jesus being the crushing stone that will destroy the image in Daniel. We're just a link that gets us from point A to point B. And I praise you for your blessing on the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen to the preacher in Maryland, and he was preaching about the church and just the divine institution, and it's going to be he had some really just alliterated points, but basically it's God's thought, and then it's God's promise, and then it's going to be God's victory, because it will prevail against the gates of hell. I like to be a part of something that wins. I don't like to lose in anything, and this is one thing that we are guaranteed. Church will win. It will win. It's going to win. Jesus has promised it. So, in Romans 16, mentions a few people's names. Timotheus, and it calls him my workfellow. And to put it lightly, that is quite a under-reported description of Timotheus. Timothy, a couple letters are addressed to him, 1st and 2nd. Timothy, were letters that we believe Paul wrote to him to encourage him in the faith, and not only anybody despises youth, and to preach, and maybe, Brother Will, maybe turn those fans back on. I turned them off because it was chilly, and now it'll get the air moving back. Those are big fans. I mean, they get the air moving, and my wife found some cheap, and I it seems like it's the same size in my living room as that fan right there. It's not quite that big, but they will move the air and help to keep it cool around here. But anyway, Timotheus calls him a workfellow. And let's just go look back at some of the things that fall underneath the description. What does it mean if you're going to work with Paul? What will your life look like if you are working with an apostle, somebody that is in the ministry? I have to just smile and think of this. Go back to Acts 16. That's where we'll start. Acts 16. Because if I was going to write a letter of scripture and epistle and just wrote it from the point of view from Mount Orb or from Wilmington or from Marysville, I would describe some people as my work fellows. And today I'd say, Will, and we salute you. As Will Doomy and Joshua Zappa and other names, and then I might say, these are my work fellows. That doesn't do any justice to describe what these guys have to put up with being around me, working for the things of the Lord. Just some of the crazy situations that that we come across, and I just have to smile and say, yep, that's the ministry. It just seems sounds nicer when you call it the ministry than if you describe it as Will having to cut out 3-inch sewer pipes and melt them with a propane heater at the other building to get the clog out in the winter. Joshua, oh my goodness, I've sent him on some wild goose chases before, and it's all been training, hasn't it? Just, that's what it is, just good training. Look at Acts 16, and you think about what work fellow means here for Timothy. This is where we find him, first mentioned, Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, this is Paul, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. I think that's really nice for everybody gossiped about Timothy, okay? Everybody talked about who his mother and dad were, because they were not church people. She was a Jew and he was a Greek, and he was not brought up in the Hebrew faith, but he's a disciple, and everybody knew his story. Now, maybe I'm reading a little bit between the lines. Maybe it was a good thing that everybody knew about him, but nonetheless, everybody knew that he was not circumcised. Now, not to be graphic, but everybody knows your story if you know something like that. Look at verse number 2, which was well reported of. Verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the, not because of the word of God, not because of the ministry, but because of the Jews that were giving him a hard time that he's just trying to be careful ministering to. Timothy, you're going to have to do this if you're going to travel with me. I'm just telling you that being a work fellow involved a lot more than just working in the ministry when you're trying to do the work of God. He didn't have to do that. In fact, in Acts 15, that's one of the things that was decided is not essential for salvation. They had a whole big gathering and agreement that you did not have to be circumcised to be saved. Can somebody say amen? It's a Jewish rite. It has nothing to do with the New Testament, with payment for sin. But yet, Paul said, hey, we're going to do this. You're going to travel with me. We want to make sure that we don't have any reason for the Jews to have a stumbling block or have something against you. Amazing to me that ministry would be about other people than our own selves. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Ministry would be about other people than our own selves. Whenever you take a position to minister, whether you are in the nursery or you are in the cleaning team, you better forget about yourself when you start doing it. Amen. You better just decide, I don't matter, I am going to try to minister. If you get on the golf cart to drive it, hey, you might pick up someone who thinks they're going to Texas Roadhouse. Don't let that offend you, okay? It's happened twice already. We've taken two people in the lobby, and then they realize it's not Texas Roadhouse, and they go back outside to go home. I'm not kidding you. Hilarious. Whatever you do for the ministry, for the work fellow, there might be some crazy things involved underneath that heading, and you just say, yep. It's for Jesus. This is why I'm ministering. I'm just going to do it. If not, can you imagine Timothy? Wait a second. What's going on here? He's like Isaac and Abraham. Here's the wood and here's the altar. Where's the lamb? Why? I'm the lamb. What's going on here? I came to witness to be about Jesus, not to go through these things. I'm not trying to be sarcastically funny, but I'm just saying, when you are a work fellow for something in the ministry, a lot of other things will come up that you might not have signed up for, yeah, but you did sign up to minister for Jesus Christ. Yeah. Y'all say amen to that? Yeah. So don't be alarmed at it. Get your big boy pants or big girl dress on, whatever it is. I mean, put your armor on and get your steel-toed shoes, because these things can happen. Look at Acts chapter 17. I love this. Just thinking about in this venue. Acts 17, let's start in verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went in the synagogue of the Jews, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Hey, we got to get you out of here, Paul, but Timothy, you stay where there's all kinds of dissension and unrest going on. You stay right here and handle the heat. We're going to get Paul out of here before something bad happens. I'm just telling you, when you're called a work fellow, do you get this picture here? I mean, they fled to Thessalonica because everyone surrounded the house of Jason in verses 5 through 9. We'll get to his name in a second. And then now the people from Berea, of Thessalonica, came to Berea, and they say, hey, he's doing it here too. And Paul, you leave. Silas and Timotheus, you stay here. You deal with all the dissension and all the things that are going on. Look at Acts 18. Verse 1 through 3, Paul finds Aquila and Priscilla. They're tent makers. Verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So he waits till they get here, and now he's pressed in the spirit. Remember what happened last time we stirred up these Jews? We've had a little history of this, Paul. Look at verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard against the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So Paul and Timotheus and Silas get back with Paul, and they go through these things. And then look at Acts 19:22. I'm going to start in verse 20 and 21. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. I need to go there. You go first, Timothy. I'm sending you there. I'm going to stay a little bit longer. You go there because God's pressing me in the spirit to do this. I just think Timothy is like, whatever you say, Paul, whatever you say, I'll get this done. I'll stay here. I'll take care of this. I'll go there. To be a work fellow in the ministry, and it's just a lot more involved than what falls underneath that description. They accompany him in Acts 20, verse 4, and they're accompanying him into Asia, Sopater and Timotheus. In verse 5 of chapter 20 says, these going before tarried for us at Troas. He gets the leading, he gets the direction, and then they go carry it out and pick up some pieces and put some things in place. And I would say, graciously and gleefully and gratefully doing that. But I remember Rick Beckley and Scott Geyer, one of the pig roast, they were talking. They said, hey, we got to get this done. And they said, yeah, we just got to make preacher look good. I remember the conversation going like that with someone, the pig roast. And I get it. I get it, because some of the things that we do and embark on, and then other people have to pick up the pieces. And I am thankful for all the people that love the ministry. Y'all say amen?
Yeah.
And we do. We love it together. And I don't think that that there's going to be a less sharing of crowns. I think that Bible Baptist Church of Marysville will have some crowns in heaven that we'll all get to throw at Jesus' feet. Amen. And so, just Timotheus, the work fellow. You read that in Romans 16, and it just sounds like, oh, he just worked with Paul. Do you know what that means to work with Paul? Do you realize what goes along with to work with Paul? One of Joe Cosme's relatives is going to be with us next week, and he's been spending some time with different churches this summer. He's at Marietta Bible College, and it's Joe's nephew. His name is Carlos, and he was at camp for a week with Mike Purden and just doing things and helping. And so I said, we'll have you for a week, and so he's going to help us at the fair booth next week. And then he's going to Kevin Bell's church for a week and just trying to, get all these experiences and before his school begins again. And he's a young fella, but he feels called to the ministry. He ain't got no idea what's coming to him next week. I love it. I can't wait to get a hold of him for a week. I told him, I said, well, we'll get you a place to stay. He said, oh, it's whatever work. I said, well, you might stay in your car. Hey, it's warm. I can do that, preacher. I can do that. So just tease him with him. But to work with Paul was quite the undertaking. Go to Romans 16. Let me give you a couple other thoughts about some of these names. Romans 16 mentions Timotheus and Lucius. I'm not real sure who Lucius is. There's a mention of a Lucius in Acts 13, verse 1, that he was one of the prophets and teachers that was at Antioch. It doesn't tell us that he traveled with Paul, but there is recognition that there were others that traveled along with Paul. What I know just from history is Lucius was the bishop at Laodicea at one time. And so, interesting that these names that travel with Paul eventually became pastors and leaders of churches as the church history carries on. And I love it. There's some preachers and ministers all around that we worked with. Brother Josh Dixon, I remember doing some goofy things on staff, and now he's the pastor of Bible Baptist Church of Wilmington. I remember just a lot of those friendships and fellowship with people, and then they're out doing the ministry. They're out. We all just keep doing things for the Lord. And here in Romans 16, you mentioned some of these names. Now, Jason, not much about Lucius, just that he was mentioned in Acts 13. But Jason, go back to Acts 17. Let's look at his story. I don't know if he's traveling with Paul when Romans was written, or he just happened to be there as Tertius finishes the letter and they write this salute. But in Acts 17, verse 5, they're in Thessalonica together, and it says, "But the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go." And then you find the next verse where they're sending Paul and Silas away and to get away. But they said, Timotheus, they're going to abide still there later on. Watch this. Just Jason, by association with Paul, is taken into custody. I can't remember which of the founding fathers, whether it was Benjamin Franklin or one of them, said, guys, we're either at the meetings of the Continental Congress, they said, look, we're either going to hang together or we're going to hang apart. So we might as well decide to hang together because they're all underneath the rebellion and the revolution against England. We're going to hang. It's either individually or all together. We got a better chance together. Jason, being associated with Paul, gets some of the burden and some of the grief that comes along with Paul. I don't know. It seems like we've been blessed that our church has had low drag and not a lot of friction. But hey, when something happens in the church, we all get to bear a little bit of it. It happens. And good or bad, great testimony or hard testimony, just being a part of a church, you get some of the flack and some of the failure and some of the whatever. It just comes together. Oh, I know that church. That's a church that this happened. And you're like, well, I didn't know that happened, but it's your church. Yeah. That happens. Jason, being associated with Paul, gets just as well some of that. I want you to notice in verse 5, the people that caused the uproar are those that believed not. Yeah. Now, it's not an accusation of any trouble in any church, but I'll tell you, a mature believer is going to try to minimize any friction that a church would face and try to maximize the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Yep. There's always something that could happen. And I just think that I can tell you that there's been folks that leave our church and they have left so graciously because they love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they've told me, preacher, we don't want to hurt anyone. We don't want to cause anything, but we're going to the church. And I said, man, I hate that. I get it. I'd like to go to another church sometimes too, instead of the one I'm pastoring. And when they left so graciously because they did not want to hurt the church. And just looking back in retrospect, I think they did not want to cause any division. They were just mature in the way they handled it. Thank the Lord. The unbelievers want to cause an issue. You've turned the world upside down. Wouldn't need it to. It was the wrong side up. We need to turn it the right side. What? You get the picture. We're helping things, not hurting. And then they couldn't find them, so they grabbed Jason. Well, Jason's the one that received him. Let's get him. Let's get him. He's not the one we're after, but he's close enough. We'll get somebody.
Yeah.
That can happen too. As things that happen in a group, if we get to suffer any heartache or any shame because of our connection to the Church of Jesus Christ, you'll say hallelujah when you get to heaven.
Amen.
You'll be grateful that you got to bear any blame or any shame because of your investment involvement with the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not of Latter-day Saints, but the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's right.
Jason became the bishop of Tarsus. Sopater is another name that's mentioned. And let's go to Acts 20, and we'll see his name repeated. Sosipater, maybe it's spelled differently in different places, but this is who they think it is. Acts 20, verse number 1 through 4. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail to Syria. He purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanying him into Asia, Sopater of Berea and of Thessalonica, Aristarchus, Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus, these going before, tarried for us at Troas. Just mentions his name, but the uproar that was ceased in verse 20, again, those three or four words don't do it justice to describe what just happened with an uproar. Paul was at Ephesus, and silversmiths who were making idols for the goddess Diana, they recognize him and they're like, that's the guy that's going to cause our craft to lose money. Because when Paul comes into a city, people start believing in this true God and they quit buying our statues and they quit using our practices, and we can't let him come or we're not going to have anybody to sell our false idols to. Now I'm paraphrasing. And they cause an uproar and get the whole city together. The magistrate of the city has to come squelch it because he's afraid word's going to get back to the Roman Empire and what's going on. They're going to send in troops. And when the Roman Empire sends in troops, it ain't good for either party. It's kind of like when your kids get in trouble at your house. It ain't good for either party when they do it at our house. They both lose out. I mean, we take toys and throw them away, and everybody loses out no matter whose fault it is. And then they're sad. I'm like, well, you shouldn't have fought because mama's mad. Or daddy's mad. Usually it's mama's mad, and we take care of it that way. The accusation was another king back in Acts 17, and here in Acts 20 or Acts 19, it's the same situation. Look at verse 19, chapter 19, verse 26. Moreover, ye see and hear, Acts 19, 26, that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Not only did he preach it, he persuaded people to believe it. Paul was so persuasive in the truth that it changed the culture of the cities that he was in. It changed the culture. They couldn't practice what they'd been practicing because now people were believing what Paul was preaching. Wouldn't that be awesome in Marysville?
Yes.
Just to change the culture. Sometimes cultures of towns changes ministries and their approaches. But it ought to be the other way around.
Right.
It ought to be that, hey, look what's happened to that church. We can't occupy other calendar events on Sunday or Wednesday because everybody's going to church.
Amen.
Everybody's convinced that God's worthy to worship, not the softball field,
yep.
Not the soccer field, not the uptown. What? No, we got church. Paul had such, and it was the truth of God that changes people. But you see here that Sopater was one of them that was in that uproar. And the magistrate told him, hey, if you guys got an issue with them, you take it up matter of law. But these guys aren't robbing churches. They had no other accusation against them that they could bring forward. And I hope that we'll have a good testimony. We've got some red tape and some city ordinances and things we got to figure out. But so I hope we have a good testimony that we can not be accused of anything else but good when we do things for our city. Amen?
Amen.
Anyway, these are some names. If you're going to be a work fellow, let me just give you a couple pieces of advice. Become selfless. You're doing it for Jesus' sake.
Yeah.
Don't let your feelings become an issue, because they're going to get stepped on eventually, somehow, some way, and deal with it. But just recognize, I get to suffer for Jesus' sake. And if you stay around me long enough, you will suffer. It will happen eventually. Maybe not for Jesus' sake, maybe for my sake. But just take that into consideration and realize, hey, I signed up. I want to please the Lord. And whatever comes, those are just secondary issues. I told Joe Sonier today, I said, Joe, we decided we're going to trust God no matter what happens, didn't we? He said, I know, but I said, No, let's thank the Lord. Maybe God knows that place you're going to is going to have an earthquake and it's going to fall down when you get there. God don't want you to die there. Maybe God's got something better. Maybe God's got, you and I don't get to judge, we should just get to trust.
Yeah, exactly right.
We don't get to prosecute, we should just get to witness. We don't get to decide, we just get to follow.
Yeah.
And Same with any parts of those. I know that, and that maybe eventually, instead of the work fellow, you'll be the bishop of Tarshish. You'll be the bishop of Iconium. You'll be the bishop of Laodicea. You'll be like Tertius, the bishop of Iconium. These all guys that were following Paul end up being leaders of other men and ministries. But for the time at hand, they were Paul's work fellows. And they just seemingly did what needed to be done so that the ministry that God had for Paul would be accomplished. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord.